Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Mueller with the Broadway Med Methodist Church, and I'm glad to welcome you to this last podcast looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a Bible study podcast, which has been looking through the material here, some of it very challenging. I'm glad you've been with us. And so this podcast number 14 will cover Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and chapter 12. Getting right into it, chapter 11 has some very famous verses. It says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Okay, so the first one, cast your bread upon the waters, has that image, and it is brought up all the time that you should be generous. You should be generous in the sense of casting your bread upon the waters. Send your bits out there to the world, to the places where kindness is shown, because it will come back to you after many days. You will find it after many days. Now, we always want to tell people, look, if you're giving charity so that you will get a lot back later on, you're still not grasping the concept of charity. And also, it kind of does puzzle because to go up to even a lakeshore with the waves rolling in and throwing the bread on the waters, well, the wind usually blows it right back. And it's hard to know how bread on a rolling wave amounts to anything. It can be shown that rice and some other crops were sown into basically a water-covered field, or also just very, you know, very soupy soil, and even it disappeared pretty well. The small seeds did, and they're trampled down by the hooves of the livestock. But then after a while, you saw it come back. Now, this isn't just a instruction about sowing rice, nor is it really meant to be an instruction about agriculture at all. But again, it is that you can throw that out on the waters as it is. Put your kindness out there. You won't be able to necessarily see the return or even the thanks, but it's there. And that is just a good piece of wisdom. Give your portion to seven. Give your portion to eight. You know, you don't know which one is the most deserving, and so don't be worrying about that. Just, you don't know what disaster might happen to you. This may be your last chance to be generous, because you don't know when you're going to have your own catastrophe or calamity happen in your own life. When clouds are full, they empty themselves on the earth. And then it points, though, you know, if a tree is leaning south, it falls south. If it leans north, it falls north. Which way, as if you're a tree, which way are you leaning? Toward generosity, kindness, reverence to God, prayer? Or are you leaning towards selfishness, abrasiveness, anger, and wrath? And then it has another one. He who observes the wind will not sow, and in regards to clouds will not reap. And people seem to be pretty well agreed that this is the attitude of somebody who, well, if he's always waiting for the weather to be perfect, he'll never get out there and get his crop sown. If he's always waiting for the weather also likewise to be perfect, he'll never get out there to harvest the crop. If you're always looking, always considering, oh, I need to know this, I need to, this needs to be a little better, well, you've left the path of wisdom. Just sometimes need to go out and get it done, even if circumstances are not perfect. So verse 5 in chapter 11 says, "As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun." So it is pointed out here that you simply don't know, how life really comes to the child in the womb. And so in something so basic, something so very common, something that is actually common to every human being's experience, well, then I guess we don't know too much and should dial back our arrogance, our pride, and our self-assurance. It also, you know, it is a good pro-life message that if people say, well, that's not a human life early in the womb, therefore it can be taken through abortion, well, you don't know that. Hadn't it better be wiser to err on the side of caution and mercy toward innocent life. So anyway, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand. Again, this has in view deeds of kindness, charity toward all. You don't know what will prosper, this or that. And maybe if you help this one seems more deserving. This one, you're not so sure. Both might be good. It's kind of remarkable in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you've gone through it, for the writer to say, both might be good. Both might turn out awesome. Because here's the fellow who kind of coined, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. I've seen great evil under the sun. Well, both your options might be good. And light is sweet, and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Just take that as a piece of truth. Verse 8 says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And so going on, that life is sweet, it's pleasant for eyes to see the sun, and bringing up the idea that you don't know when your eyes will no longer see the sun. Remember that the days of darkness will be many, that we have a short life to serve God in, to act as steward of all that he has given us, to show love to people in. There is an eternity before us, and we will live in it, but we only live right now in a short kind of an isthmus, sort of a strait of land between the eternity that was and we didn't exist, and the eternity that will be, where we will exist forever. And we are now, at this time, choosing what sort of people we shall be. Which way will our tree fall? And then do rejoice in your life. You don't know how long this life may be. You may never be an old person. And I speak that to everybody, because most of us all, even if you're listening to this and you're fairly old, you expect to get a lot older, usually. Remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain from your body, not in a narrow, selfish, I can't be bothered with pain or trouble, but don't let it aggravate you. Go back to Jesus' words that do not be anxious about tomorrow. Today will have its trouble. And we can handle that with God. God cares about our needs, daily needs, but don't put a mark in your life where you're worrying about everything on into the future. Then going to chapter 12, verse 1. This beautiful poem, and it's going to read all the way down through verse 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terror is in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along. And desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the lower earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. All is vanity. Now these verses, beautiful and sad, I read those and had people say, oh, that's so sad, and they're correct. These verses talk about oncoming old age and death. It's really handy that the Bible has verses about old age. You know, we fancy that nobody got to be an old age in pre-modern times. Actually, there always were people who had lived a very long time. In any but the most disrupted communities, even though the average lifespan was much shorter. And so it's handy that now and then there's a lot of us who are old, and a lot of us who solemn thought probably should plan on a long old age, even though point well taken in verse 11. If you're a young person, you don't know if you will ever be an old person. But this is the life of an old person. And there is in it a certain vanity, a certain, you know, you're going to have to lay all this down no matter how important or valuable it seems to be you to be. And then it works by similes, by metaphors for things, you know. Even though the days will come when you'll say you have no pleasure in them, and that seems to be straightforward, that you tend in older life to just give back things. Desire fails. You are preparing for your eternal home almost by laying aside thing after thing that to you was important, special, or just a great big deal. And then the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened. This is the dimming of the eyes, the failure of vision. The clouds seem to return after the rain. And the days when the keepers of the house tremble, whether that is the shaking of the legs and knees or the shaking of the hands, you can make your own choice. The strong men are bent. That is the bowing of the legs. My legs are becoming more bowed as the years go by. I have had a doctor assure me of this. And the grinders cease, because they are few. You don't have as many teeth in your mouth. And those who look through the windows are dim. That, again, is your eyes. And the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low. Now, these could be, again, referring to the lesser activity of the mouth, less speaking, less eating, less chewing, but also the sound of the grinding is low, and the doors on the street are shut sound to me like ears. That the loss of hearing that accompanies old age. But at the same time, and I remember my grandmother telling me this, that you seem to get up at every little thing all night long. I hear this and I get up. I heard that and I got up. I heard the lids on the trash can rattle and I got up. And you're afraid of what is high. And well, you should be. To all my older friends, look, it's all great fun and games until you fall. Okay, so don't fall. You're having a perfectly lovely day, but if you fall and break a hip, first off, I lose more friends that way. And second off, you can't be sure Look, you're out of pain and doing what you want, and then break hip, even though they might fix you up just fine. It's a long rehab, and frankly, it hurts a lot, I have heard. So terrors are in the way. You can find yourself in old age, though you've lived a courageous life, being frightened about every little thing. Nobody really knows what the grasshopper drags itself along. It could be a metaphor for many things in life. And also, one would say also that you can see an aging insect. An insect in one season goes from strength to old age and just barely drags itself along. Desire fails, as I've said. And mourners go about the streets. Man is going to his eternal home. Boy, you seem to be going to funerals all the time. Now this business, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and then it sums up, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So these, from the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, seem to refer to death. And they don't need to be anything different than what they are. You know, that almost vision that your life is a silver cord, and all of a sudden comes along an angel with scissors and snip, because your time has come. The golden bowl, which is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. These all seem to be the suddenness and, well, the unfixableness of death. I have seen people say that, if you know, a lot of this would seem to refer to things like spinal cord, even the circulation of the heart and the action of our circulatory system and lungs. This may very well be. In fact, it may very well be an interesting point that even though the circulation of blood was a relatively recent discovery in science, you could say that perhaps from the way they talk, Solomon and some others knew more about it than we give them credit for. But this is, you know, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. A Bible study point, it does say in some versions, creators. There isn't a lot you can attach to that. It isn't certainly, even though it is true that God is present to us in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, You don't really want to use this as a proof text for that. It doesn't have a great textual basis. There are some versions that have creator singular. But remember your creator while you're young. Remember God now. You'll find that it pays. You'll find that it is the path of wisdom. And also, you become the person that you need to be in your old age if you remember your creator when you're young. Remember him as creator, that you are a steward merely of these things, that you merely hold in trust even your health, your body, your voice, not to mention your goods and your family relationships. You hold all these in trust for God who owns them all. He is your creator. And so we might find life be difficult, as so many times the book of Ecclesiastes has pointed it out to be. We may find life to seem simply make no sense at time, or so many things point to a deficiency in meaning and understanding that we can have. That's fine. We're living. Many philosophical points cannot be sorted out, and yet life goes on, and yet life also is lived in responsibility to God. So to finish the book, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Well, it has been sometimes lifted up that did somebody get into the end of this book after Solomon finishes saying, "Oh, vanity, vanity," says the preacher, "all is vanity," because it speaks about the preacher in third person, but point in fact, he refers to himself as the preacher, third person, before. Is this kind of a corrective? Because so much of the material in Ecclesiastes is negative. It says this doesn't make sense. We keep seeing that justice does not prevail in life. And though there are signs, and in fact there are steps of logic that tell us that it's not just this life that matters, even to the view of this writer, it's a difficult book, and one that raises the useful questions. People think that the religious people have never wrestled with the fact that things don't seem fair. Well, we have. We've never wrestled with the fact that, you know, my life can suddenly be snuffed out, and how am I supposed to handle news like that? Well, we have. But so it doesn't also, it seems to me also not inconsistent that the writer himself could have put this in here. Look, you know, be wise, but I've tried being wise, and it's not all it's cut out to be. It doesn't answer every need. I can make proverbs without end. I can do it carefully, and it's upright. And these words are true. They're like goads. They point us in the right direction. They prod us when we don't want to be moved. They're nails firmly fixed, you know, something nailed down, and you just simply cannot pull it apart. And they're given by the one shepherd. You know, wisdom finds its source in God. But beware of much beyond this, of making many books there is no end. And I can say of myself that I love to read. I read and study constantly and all the time. But of making many books, there is no end. It is a weariness to the flesh. Of reading many books, there is no end. It is a weariness to the flesh. All has been heard. We have heard and learned enough. Fear God. Keep his commandments. I would add, trust his mercies. God will bring every deed into judgment. God will make a way for us to have life. So thank you for being with us in this podcast in the book of Ecclesiastes. This was podcast number 14, chapters 11 and 12 in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so thankful for the people at the Broadway United Methodist Church putting this out for anyone who would like to look at a book of the Bible. And so, my friend, you be well, fear God and keep his commandments, as the word says. Amen.